Jim, just a couple of words at this time. The word dunamis. There's a couple of English words that come from that word. The one, of course, when men discovered explosion, that they can make an explosion with certain chemicals, and they called it dynamite, which comes from dunamis. And whenever I try to think, well, what is it, dunamis or exousia, I think of dynamite as dunamis, something that makes an action. In fact, it makes a great action. The other word is, I remember years ago looking in a dictionary and finding the word dynamo. And apparently, dynamo was when men first discovered they could make an electric motor, an electric engine, or and they called it a dynamo. And of course, they have gone far beyond that. But again, this is something, it's not just having the authority to do it, but it's actually doing it. And there's an action, a physical action, a physical power that comes from that. Well, I'll let it be for now. I'm sure other brethren have something to share. Mike always has something good to add to it.
I just have a couple little things to say. Jim read the scripture where it says, the kingdom of God is not in word. And I think it would have been a lot easier to understand if that would have been plural. The kingdom of God is not in words, and I'm talking words like this. Probably most of the African brethren don't know about this, but in the 90s, we had this big Christian movement in the United States called Promise Keepers. And I can't remember, it maybe went on for 4 or 5 years or whatever. All these men, it was a movement for men. And one of my friends went to one of them. And when he came back, he was all excited. And he says there was 350,000 men at Promise Keepers this year. And he said next year they're expecting 1.2 million. And while he's telling me this, I'm hearing it in one ear. In my other ear, God says, I don't count heads, I weigh them. And I'm thinking to myself, I would have been more happy to find one man there that had the life of God in him. And so, all these fancy words that these highfalutin preachers in these mega churches are talking about, there's no power in them. There's no power in those words. The power is in the life of God within you. And when I think about the power that we have against the enemy, to put it in the most simple form, here's what always comes to me. It is written. Three times the devil comes to Jesus, three times, and all he says is, it is written, and then he quotes what is written. So, brethren, knowing that Bible of yours is one of the most valuable things that you can have. It is written. That's what sustains us. That's the road book for life that God gave us. Amen.
Very good, Mike. Very good.
scripture that the Lord gave me was John 1.
More volume, Connie.
The scripture the Lord put in my heart is John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So the Word is God. And Jesus became flesh, and He was the Word, and He was the way and the truth and the life. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And all the blood, the Word, the Spirit, it's all in Him, and it's all in the beginning, and it's always been. So praise God.
Amen. And, to further, add to what Connie said, somehow God had to get this life down to us. So he capsulized everything. The power of the blood, the power of the word, the power of the spirit in Jesus Christ. And when he released his blood, he released his life, all of that energy and power was released to us. Now we become the containers, and we can contain what he released to us. That's the power.
I was reading that, and you even said the scripture today that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and God the Father does not have, He's a spirit. He doesn't have the blood, but He put it in. I don't know, the way I understood was that Jesus became flesh, the blood was in Him, and He shed that. And when He came back, when He rose from the dead, He didn't have the blood. He shed it all. And I'm so, as Madeline said, there are not words to describe the preciousness of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. Unworthy as we were and are, He did it for us because He loved the Father and He loved His creation.
I think you you identified three spirits, did you not, Jim, that come against the church? I think that's where you started off.
Yes.
The Troika. And how the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. Because of this threefold attack on the church, it brought me to Revelation 16, and maybe just read a few of the verses surrounding this. And I remember I mentioned the word Armageddon here in the beginning. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. I think we're talking about a spiritual drying here, not necessarily a natural drying. There's
What
some
verse are you? What verse are you?
verse 12. Of
Okay.
chapter 16 in
Okay, I
Revelation.
got it. Yeah.
Yeah. poured out his vial on the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. My goodness, we're really focusing on these kings of the east right now. It's not just Iran, but it's spilling over into all the other kings of the east are being drawn into this thing. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. We're talking about this whole world system that's coming to pass here. We haven't seen it formed yet, but it's waiting to come forth here. Probably waiting for that sixth angel to pour out his vial, not for Trump to light the match, but the sixth angel to pour out this vial. Unclean spirits like frogs coming out of this thing, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. My goodness, we're seeing that spirit of the false prophet come out as well. For they are the spirits of devils or demons. Amen? They are the spirits working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And I remember when I first came into this word, I was about 40, maybe 41 or 42. And I remember coming upon this word, Armageddon, and trying to figure out in the natural what all this was, you know. And I looked up that word Armageddon in the Hebrew, you know, and I found out it was Mount Medigo, you know. And I'm trying to find Mount Medigo on the map. And I remember it wasn't long after that, and I heard Clayton Sunmore say, "Brethren, the battle of Armageddon is not a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle." And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm so glad that these older brethren are still with us. I mean, I'm talking about Clayton Sunmore. He had an understanding, you know, of some of these things. I'm talking about Brother Campbell, Brother DeSeal, men that at that time were like fathers to me. You know, I should have been a mature man in my 40s, but you know what? I needed these older father figures that God had still in the body of Christ. They've moved on now. And brethren, we're going to have to bring that wisdom of maturity into the body of Christ. And I thank you, Jim, for bringing a bit of that into our midst this day. No, Mr. Trump cannot light the fuse of Armageddon.
Amen.
I would just say a couple little things about Armageddon. The word Har means hill, and Mageddon is Megiddo. So Armageddon is the hill of Megiddo. And if you go back and check some of the Bible stories, you know who died right there in that area of the hill of Megiddo? Saul, Jezebel, one of those other kings, I forget who it was, might have been Ahab. So what the battle of Armageddon is God is going to slay the wicked. And it's going to be spiritual.
Looking forward Looking forward to that event. I'm getting so tired of the wicked in control, the wicked ruling everything. My God, how can we be part of that army, Lord, to put that thing down, put that wicked dragon down?
I wanted to say thank you, Jim, for the word. And I was wondering when you were going to get to 1 John chapter 5, and you didn't disappoint me. You got there eventually. But looking at that, I want to expand upon what it says there. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there are three which bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Okay. And the three who bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, these three agree in one. So they're in agreement. And the agreement is coming forth. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So the witness of God, which agrees to what we're talking about here, the three, this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son, that he who believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. Okay? And, you know, we are, as it says, the witness in himself. Reminds me of Romans 8:16, where it says that the Spirit itself. Hello? That the Spirit itself bears witness in our spirit that we are the sons of God. So he who believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. And he who believes not has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son has not life. So the three bear witness that we are, because we believe in the life of Jesus Christ and the gospel which has been brought forth, that we are the sons of God, and we have this life in us. And you finished with, what was it? You finished in Revelation 12. Revelation 12, you finished with. And they that overcame him, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The first thing you talked about, the blood. The word of our testimony, that's the second word. That word of our testimony is the gospel of Jesus Christ as given in Romans 15. That Jesus Christ came and died for our sins to redeem us, was buried and rose again. So that's the word. And the third thing is we overcame because we love not our lives unto death. And that is that we died. We overcame because we died to self. And now it's not us that live, but Jesus Christ who lives in us. Again, that's the Spirit that bear witness. Those three bear witness that we are sons of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else have anything to add to this?
You know, I just want to say one thing before we close that we are living in historic times. You know, I don't know if we, you know, take note of these things, but the times we're living in are not only historic, but I believe they're prophetic times. When you look at, I think we're looking at Daniel chapter 8, where it talks about, you know, Media Persia being taken down. Of course, that happened, you know, historically, that Alexander the Great took down the kingdom of Media Persia. And I look at that as the first reset, but I think now we have the second reset that, you know, when you look at Trump and we look at, you know, that he, I believe that God ordained him and, you know, and put him in a position where he would use him to take down, again, the nation, the kingdom of Media Persia centered in Iran. This, again, if you look at the typology here, you know, it says that God raises up kings and he takes down kings. And God, I believe, raised up Trump for a specific purpose, you know, to take down and do damage to the kingdom of Islam, which was centered, but specifically Shiite Islam, centered in Iran. And just like Alexander the Great did it in record time, so too is Trump taking down the Islamic kingdom in record time. And if you look at what I think it's Daniel, either Daniel, it talks about the two horns of Media Persia. The one horn would be the religious fanatics of Islam that had to be taken down quickly, and the second one is the militant portion of the regime that the guard, the Islamic guard. The military was the other horn that had to be taken down, which is being dismantled now. So I just see it as, again, we are a long way from Armageddon. You know, there's many things that have to be taken in place, but this is a step towards that. And you still have to get the, you know, of course, the because it says scripture clearly states in Matthew 24 that, you know, that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. So it's setting up for a reorganization in the global geographic areas of the world to fill in that vacuum, and peace, certain nations will rise up. And peace will come at some point where Israel will believe that now they're finally at peace. And when they say, you know, peace and safety, then we're near the end. We still have to get to that place yet. We still have to get to further on in Daniel, where it says, when we talked about Daniel 8, it's the angel said, seal up the book. The end is not yet. It's for a later time. So we still have to get to Ezekiel 38. The invasion that's coming at supposedly the battle of Armageddon. But again, it's spiritual battle more than anything. But just be aware that these things are happening in the earth and they're at the hand of God. And, just for us to be aware and discern what God is doing in the earth. And he's also doing in the spirit realm. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we're seeing the shaking of nations, but we still have not identified that dragon, the seven heads, the 10 horns, the seven crowns. We still haven't identified that yet. We do a lot of speculating of what it's going to be, but it's not evident yet. Not quite yet. But like you said,
yes, but
I believe that the shaking that's going on now is going to open the gate for this to be manifest.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I think we're seeing the beginning, and that's what I'm saying. You know, watch prophecy, because everything has to line up with the Word of God.
So we might just as well, when we hear the word Iran, biblically, we might just as well say Persia. That's what's happening. Persia wants to rise again. And I was thinking as I see this war taking place, no, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold, and the head of gold is gone. The silver came, the brass. We're down, we're way down that man. We're not at the head anymore. And that head of gold isn't coming back.
You know, something that Larry said kind of triggered in me. You know, we do rehearse the word in Matthew 24, Matthew 25, the wise, five wise and five foolish virgins. But what Larry triggered in me, we got to go back and study Daniel, Ezekiel. You know, we got to hear what the prophets are saying to us.
Amen.
Because like you said, Larry, we're living in that time.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very, very good admonishment, Larry. Don't overlook what the prophets have already said to us and see, like Mark says, see where we're living in this time. Where are we?
You know, I've thought
everything has.
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, everything has to come to pass according to God's word and according to what the prophets have said. And you know, this prophecy in Daniel, as you know, in Revelation, you know, it's not always easy to understand. But as these things unfold on the earth, we can point to it and say, hey, there, I see it now. You know, like I'm saying Media Persia, and that is Iran. And it was God's purpose to to bring a fatal blow to the to the this demon of Islam, and he used Trump to do it. So Trump is, you know, he's going to eventually go off the scene, but not before his purposes are fulfilled, and not before God, he's done what God has called him to do. But we have to be mindful of prophecy.
30%.
You know, when you were talking about living in historic time, several times in the last couple of weeks, I thought to myself, boy, I wish I could have lived back in the time of George Washington. You know, and then I thought, no, I think in the time of the Great Civil War here in America would have been a great time. And then I thought, No, in the time of the Reformation, wouldn't that have been a great time? And thought of other great times, you know, the turn of the century, they call it, which is not our century, but the century before, when the great holiness movement and then the great Pentecostal movement was taking place, and I would thinking, my, wouldn't I have loved to be in those days? But then I thought, no, I'm living in a better time. I'm living in a time of the great end time of the kingdom of God. Amen. Brethren, yes, we are living in a great time.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
And you were ordained for such a time, Mark. We all have been ordained for this time.
Yes. Amen.
This is work of.
Amen.
Amen, brethren. I want to read a few verses in Daniel 2. And, I think I have heard, I can't quote verbatim, but I think I have heard Mr. Trump in one of his outings, I think earlier in his inauguration, or after his inauguration, saying that he has been appointed to do a thing and that somebody must do it, and he has been appointed to do it, you know, the way he speaks. All right, so I believe strongly that Mr. Trump in this time and age is fulfilling some kind of prophetic declaration in scripture, but that does not make him a righteous man, and that is the reason why I'm reading these verses. There's no doubt that he's fulfilling great prophetic, you know, declaration in scripture. All right, but I want to read in Daniel chapter 2, verse 37 specifically. Said, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven had given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven had he given into thine hand, and had made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." So it's specific, said, the God of heaven had given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And we see that for now, with the narrative and the trajectory that Trump is taking, there is no doubt that he's a fulfillment of historic declarations in scripture, and we must be very observant and follow the trend to know exactly. If I would place him, I would place him likely as near the Antichrist, you know, a trigger. He may not be the Antichrist, but he's close to, you know, bringing forth the Antichrist government movement. He's talking of peace. He's talking of interfaith. He's talking of religious harmony. Is just, you know, if you follow very closely his narrative, he's towing the path of one world religion so much. So I believe that it's a fulfillment in scripture, but it does not make him a righteous man. And I know that there was a spotlight when they told him to give a testimony of when he was born again. You know, so one religious group was putting him on spotlight. He couldn't give a testimony of him being born again and becoming a child of God. So I know that he's a religious man, and he is also having all these religious men rallying around him. The Nigerian pastor Kumuyi, who was present in the day of inauguration and give a prayer, and then this other singer from Nigeria, and I know that they are all the spearheads of this one world religion in this time in Nigeria. Right now, I think Kumuyi just ended a program called Turning Point. We are talking about turning away, and you know they have also made a video about him. The current foundation is floating with the United Nations. They are asking him. This year narrative is very much different from what you used to preach, the holiness message and heaven and hating the world. But now you say make the most out of the world, change the environment. and make sure you make the best out of your environment. Are you forgetting the heaven you used to preach about? So we know that this turning point is preaching is just declaring to the world that there is a turning away that he is trying to declare to the world for them to know. So we know that all these men rally around Mr. Trump at this time. So there is a possibility of Trump fulfilling, you know, the Antichrist movement and world war religion. But I think we have to be careful, even as he's fulfilling scripture, we can't credit to him that he's a righteous man. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. I say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen.
No,
but yeah.
And watch the Catholic Church, brethren. The Catholic Church has always been a dragon. It has blood on their hands. And they have never repented of that because they are not a church. They are the church of the Antichrist. And they are very much involved in ecumenicalism, getting the departed brethren, the Protestant churches. Protestant means protest. We protested against Rome and came out. Now they're trying to bring them back into the fold. Beware of the Catholic Church. They are a two-headed. They speak like a lamb, but they're really a dragon.
Amen. Yes, the Pope still wants his foot in this. Every time there's a big move, there'll be some kind of statement that comes out of the Vatican. The news media is not making much of this, but he always makes some kind of a statement that he wants involvement in this world politic.
What was the scripture that the brother was reading from?
It's in the first chapter of Daniel.
Oh, first chapter. Thank you.
Chapter two.
Two.
Or two, I mean, yeah, two.
What verse?
Oh, down about 37.
Thank you.
You know, brethren, this kind of discussion is wonderful. You know, we need more of this because I am blessed by this kind of, you know, opening up the prophetic words that we have before us and trying to bring it all together. The books are open. The seals are being broken. The word is opening. We need this kind. This is wonderful.
You know, Jim, I think it was you mentioned the Catholic Church here a minute ago. The Catholic Church is not an outer court church. It at best, it is a harlot church. And I would even hesitate to put the word church in there. It is just a straight out harlot.
It's apostate.
Harlot, just a straight out harlot. And its apostasy, if it was a church, took place 2,000 years ago.
Amen. Yeah, I'm very blessed by this discussion, brethren. I'm very blessed by what you have to say. This is wonderful.
You're welcome anytime, Jim.
Amen.
Well, I suppose we should bring it to an end. I think we've said what we're going to say today. So why don't we say our goodbyes? Brother Larry, why don't you ask the Lord's blessing as we close up? Would you do that?
Sure. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, God, that you've given us that all that we need, Lord, to be victors in this time we're living in. God, we pray your spirit will continue to show us what's happening in the days ahead, Lord, and that you would give us discernment to be able to discern what you're saying in the word, lining up with what's happening in the earth, Lord God. But God, I pray first and foremost that that spirit would lead us into the greater life of our Lord Jesus Christ, God, because in him is our life. And God, we are thankful for all that you've done for each of us, Lord God. We're thankful that your hand is upon us, Lord, as we go forth battling the enemy. But God, continue to equip us even further in the days ahead, Lord. I pray that you would bless your people gathered here this day. Bless their whole household, Lord God, and all that live there. We pray your peace and safety in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. God bless each one. We will see most of you next week. And the Lord be with each one.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Appreciate everyone. God bless you.
Bless you.
Amen. All right, here we go.
Bye.